Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of our broadcast. I promise I will handle this equipment better than I did when I had Reinhardt on the show. You know, you step out of here for just a few weeks, and you come back, and you think you know everything, and you, oh, wait, I forgot to connect this. Anyway, it's all working now, and we've been having a blessed week here at the station, and things are just moving. We're about to get some upgrades for the broadcasting platform that we have, the IPTV, and we're excited about that. We're excited about getting those upgrades. It's been quite some time since we've had the opportunity to do this, and we're taking advantage of it now. Everything has to be done in a season, and you got to make sure it's the right time and right place. But what a perfect way to introduce our next segue. I have Pastor David Hope with us. Say hello, Pastor David.
Hello, everyone.
And he is going to be with us for this broadcast until we have our second guest on the half-hour mark, and that's Miss Gail Winters. We'll have her on the show with us as well. But we have been talking for quite some time, Pastor, about your new book that you're writing, and it's called Keep on Knocking.
That's correct.
tell us a little bit of, I mean, a lot of us get tired of knocking. We get tired and we wonder, you know, why do we have to keep doing this?
Well, you know, that's what the devil is banking on, that you'll get tired and quit, because otherwise you're going to win and he's going to lose, because
yes.
Jesus has already, he hath given to us, past tense, everything that pertains to life and godliness. And he sees ahead and makes provision. So the devil's hoping that you're going to quit, because that's the only way you can lose. You can't lose if you don't quit. And here's something interesting. Patience or perseverance is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And the devil has no fruits of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, because he has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit.
True.
So he doesn't have patience. So when you're about to, when you feel like you want to quit, the devil wants to quit a lot more than you do, because you have, even maybe it's not developed to where you want it to be, but you still got more than he does. And that's why right at the last, when you're feeling that you want to quit, that's why he makes a big push to show you a big giant or whatever he does, so that you'll stop, because he's about to give up and put his weapons down.
Now, was it very, very hard for you to write a book out of this? Because this is mostly a sermon. But there's plenty of examples in the Word of God that will teach you about keep on knocking. And there's plenty of personal experiences as
I
well.
I had a personal experience with my wife wanting to remodel our house. Wanted to add on and do some remodeling. And, of course, I looked at it. It was very expensive. And I just didn't feel like we needed it, and so you know.
that sounds like us men. Well, do yeah. I'm good with it how it looks.
Exactly. And so, you know, it was one of these. I put my foot down, I stomped, and said, you know, I pulled out every card that I have. You know, I'm the head of the household. I'm an MBA, and I did the financial analysis, and you know, with a ring of authority. We are not doing this no matter what, you know. I have spoken. Well, guess what? She kept knocking and talked about it. And guess what? We did the remodeling, and we've done two since then.
I know. You shared that story in church service once, and I cracked up because I'm remembering that you currently were having a remodel at the time.
And may I say, on the third time, I said yes right away, because I knew the eventual conclusion and why go through all that. I just said, oh, praise the Lord. And the Lord provided every time. We have a beautiful home.
Absolutely. Now share with us the scripture where Jesus shares the parable about that.
Well, there's we have the one. Let's take the one with the unjust judge.
Okay.
And there's a widow woman that's coming to get justice. And I think that's in Luke chapter 11. Why don't we just...
He is a concordance. I can tell you. Sometimes, and those that listen to the show, you all know this, I have called Pastor David while I'm on the air. I said, Pastor, where's the scripture? And he's driving to a meeting, and he goes, it's found over here.
Okay. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 9. Jesus is speaking, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go into... Okay, this is the friend that... the neighbor, then we have the unjust judge.
Okay.
Maybe we should go to Matthew chapter 7
okay.
first, because that is...
and a lot of people out there think that, well, are you wearing God down? Was that this thing?
No, because please. God wants to do it.
Absolutely.
Jesus said, it is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Absolutely.
And so have you ever noticed that, just like what you're saying, we have to keep speaking something, and
mm-hmm.
we say, in Jesus' name, whatever it is you want to see happen, if it lines up with the Word of God, you keep speaking in the name of Jesus, it's going to happen. Well, why doesn't God just give us, you know, what we could just say at one time? Well,
absolutely.
Think about it. You'd say about someone, oh, I just love him to death. Well, then he'd fall over dead. Or someone pulls out in front of you in traffic, and you say, you idiot! And then he'd turn into an idiot.
Well, there's plenty of idiots driving right now that I probably have yelled that to.
And so that's why. But see, the more faithful you are with your words, the more power
mm-hmm.
God will allow you to have with your words. As soon as we stop saying, you idiot, and we stop saying, you know, I love him to death, and things like that, and we're careful with our words, then the more power, the more like our Father we will be.
Mm.
So here's the key verse to it. It's Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7, 7 through 8. There's three verbs, ask, seek, and knock, and they're all in the Greek present imperative tense, which implies continuous action. So it really should read like this. Continue asking, and it shall be given you. Continue seeking, and ye shall find. Continue knocking, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that keeps on asking receiveth, and he that keeps on seeking finds, and to him that keeps on knocking, it shall be open.
Mm.
So that is why is in Luke chapter 11. Let's do that one. This
Amen.
Is the neighbor.
When you read it like that, Pastor, it kind of explains it.
It does. If you're not willing to keep on asking, then maybe you're not really in faith. In other words, we expect it as soon as we speak it.
Mm.
We're looking for it. We know it's already done. And then when we don't see it, we keep speaking it. Each time with the revelation that we're closer to the answer than we were before.
What and about those that say that you don't, if you ask for it once, you should believe and that's all, and then go on?
Well, that's not what Jesus said.
Absolutely,
he
right.
He said, keep on asking.
They say, well, faith is just you've asked for it and believe. Because I've heard some people preach it like that. And
well, then if you really believe it, then you're really expecting it and you keep on speaking it. Now, you can do it in a method to say, Father, I thank you that it's already done.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a knocking. That may reconcile
some of those
people.
Sure a person that, and I do a lot in the healing ministry, I'm sure a person that's terminally ill is not just going to pray once. You know, they're going to keep praying every day that they get healed. They're going to keep praying, and I'm sure they're believing. I'm certain they're not.
You know, the devil is resisting, but each time you speak it, it's like he's hit with a weapon.
You know, and I'm reminded of the story of Job. Remember what the Word of God says in Daniel, when Daniel was praying, and he said that he was going to bring, that the angel said, the moment you spoke to the Lord, I was on my way. And then he was held 21 days. But it said, but you kept, you know, Daniel kept praying. In those 21 days, Daniel kept knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. And the enemy held up the blessing, but he couldn't take it away. He just held it up.
And so the warfare continued.
Yes.
Because he kept speaking. We had, you know, Gary Wood, and mm-hmm. he was here couple of Sundays ago, and I remember one of the stories he tells. He was killed in a car accident, went to heaven, came back. But the point I'm making is when he was in heaven, he saw like a warehouse, and it was explained to him it was unclaimed blessings. And many of those, there was body parts and things like that, and they would send off the blessing or whatever the request was, and then things would come out of their mouth like, I guess it's not coming. I guess God didn't want to answer that prayer. Mm-hmm. And the angels had to bring back the answer, and they're in the warehouse called unclaimed blessing.
Man, I like a key to that door.
So we got to keep on speaking. And it's something that's also very interesting. I do want to get to these stories about the unjust.
Oh, we got plenty of time, Pastor. We got
and the neighbor that comes knocking for a loaf of bread because of visitor. But something that I find very interesting in the book of Acts, remember when Peter was in prison and the church people, they got together and they were praying for his release. Mm-hmm. And an angel went and opened the doors and released him. And he went and he came and knocked on the door. And the Bible says this lady named Rhoda answered, and she screamed and ran back to the others and said, it's him. And they said, thou art mad. And what did they do? They just went on praying.
Yeah.
So there is some great value in to keep on knocking, because look at what the dynamics of what happened there. Many times we anticipate God to answer our prayer in a certain way, mm-hmm. but he does it in a better way.
Amen.
So they were expecting to get some news about, oh, you've got a, I don't know what, maybe you got a hearing and you can speak or whatever. They didn't expect an angel to go and open the door and break chains and so forth. And so when the answer came, they didn't recognize it. And how many times have people, God has answered their prayer, but they were expecting it to come a certain way, and it passed them by. They didn't lay hold of it and say, that's it, I claim it, that's mine. Thank you, God. Look what God has done. But it said they went back to pray still. So they kept knocking. One advantage of keep on knocking, if the answer comes and you don't recognize it, but you keep knocking, it'll come back again, because the sowing and reaping. And it says in the Bible that Peter knocked on the door. She ran to tell him. They said, thou art mad. And it says, but Peter continued knocking. So if you keep on knocking and asking, the answer will keep on knocking until you can recognize it.
Hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. That's amazing. And I think a lot of us get worried, but the Bible says, be not weary in well doing, for if you faint not, you shall reap in good season.
See, the only way you lose is quit. If you don't quit, you win.
Absolutely. And part of faith is just hanging on. I mean, that's all you do is hang on and trust God and believe that he's going to do it. And there's many, many times that I've seen miracles happen for people when they're about to give up.
Exactly. And the longer you have to wait, you can just rejoice, because that means the bigger the answer. When you put money into a bank, the longer you leave it there until you get the withdrawal, the more increase in interest is, that the more it will be when you make the withdrawal. And so it could be that there's some delay because the Lord is gathering up, making the circumstances so that there's spoil and more spoil for you. Maybe there's giants there building big houses for you. And so you can go in there. You know, I like tall ceilings, praise the Lord. So I like the giant houses.
He's a giant. He's like 6'5 or something. But you know what? That's true, because I was telling Pastor last year, you know, I kept getting emails from the people that provide for us for our internet television station that we had, the IPTV station. And at that point, it was an upgrade that we needed and stuff, and it would have got us to a certain level. But I left it alone, and I just kept knocking. And I said, Lord, you know, the funds aren't there. I'm going to just keep knocking. I'm keep asking. I keep believing, keep trusting, keep just knowing that your will is going to be there. And God protected me in a sense, because there was a bigger upgrade. They gave us more information. They gave us more stuff and reduced my costs monthly. And now I'm able to afford that. But last year, if I would have did that, I would have had to come up with another big expense to do a second upgrade, and that would have been crazy. But you keep on knocking, you keep asking. God has a certain, and God has a moment, a season when something is released in your life. And whether it's like, I know Pastor always preaches, don't believe for the Ferrari, first believe for the little Beetle or the little Winnebago or the little car. Believe for the little car. And then trust God that you get to that point in your faith that you can believe for a Mustang. You can believe for, and not that we're just talking about material things, but it's just a sign of a symbol of just your maturity of what you can believe for. You just come out, you can't want everything and not expect for your faith has to grow, and the only way it grows is through the Word of God and understanding it.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're driving the Beetle, you don't want to believe for a Rolls Royce. Now, if you can and have faith for it, go for it. But a lot of people do that, and what can you really believe?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm driving a Beetle. I'm going to believe for a Lexus, and I can actually believe for that. Then once I get the Lexus, then I'll believe for the Jaguar, and then the Rolls Royce.
But you know what? That's how society is right now. They give you credit cards and approve you for cars and houses you can't afford, just because you want it now. But there's a time and a season to work to get that now. But society's so spoon-fed everybody to get it now that there's a maturity left. So when they come into the faith side of it, it's hard for them to adjust that. You got to believe, and you got to earn it in faith. You got to believe in faith. You got to trust God in faith, and that takes time. Faith takes time to develop.
It does. It when you're, we should believe God right away.
Amen.
Because a lot of times Jesus said when he performed miracles, it was immediately, straightway, from that very hour. So you're looking for it right away. But if you don't see it, you just keep on knocking, continuing in a spirit of expectation. And you just keep on knocking. And if you do that, you can't lose. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Share with us your stories, Pastor.
Okay, let's go in Luke, one we were going to do a while ago, chapter 11, verse 5, Jesus speaking. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? And he shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity or his perseverance, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. And then again he said, I say unto you, keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking, and you shall find. Keep on knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. And think about it. Jesus is our friend, and he wants to give it to us.
Amen. I would have threw the food out the window. Just take the food. I'm trying to sleep.
Let's look at Luke 18. This is really interesting. Starting in verse 2, Jesus speaking, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So God wants to do it speedily. This judge did it, even though he doesn't regard man, doesn't fear God. In other words, it wasn't because of his integrity or he wanted to do the right thing, because this lady just wouldn't go away. He would do it. How more would God do it, who has the greatest integrity of anybody and loves us dearly, unconditionally, and gave us everything that he has that we might share with him? Mm. How much more would he give it to us if we keep on asking?
Mm. That's amazing. That's amazing. And the thing is, I think we kind of look at some things come in quick, but then other things take a while. So what would you tell the person that happens to them? They see maybe little things coming easy, quick, but then something like grand, yeah, or something really dear to their heart seems to just be taking forever. Could be a lost loved one. It could be someone that's sick. Could be, you know, job, finances.
It is. And again, I always look at it, well, it's like that investment in the bank. You know, it's drawing increase. The longer you wait, the bigger the blessing is. I know there was a time I'd lost my job, and I was believing God. I was full of faith, you know. And I was doing everything I could in the natural, believing God to do the rest. And there were certain jobs, they looked like good jobs. And I went, and I was looking good, smelling good. I mean, I had a fantastic resume and all that stuff. It seemed like I was perfect for it. Didn't get it. Well, come to find out, after about 3 months, there was a job twice as good as all of those. And had I gotten one of those other jobs, I'd have quit looking and been very satisfied. But because God had something even bigger, those giants were over there building houses so that I could live in houses I didn't build, and they were digging wells so I could have wells I didn't dig. Mm. And if the salary was a lot more, with a lot more benefits and something that I enjoyed a whole lot more. And because I didn't murmur, complain, I kept on knocking. Now, in today's economy, people say 3 months, that's nothing. But this was a long time ago. That was a long
people
time.
Like, piece of cake. But, I mean, that's a great story. I mean, there's times where you just have to just keep going forward. And it just it's the attitude you walk into the day.
Amen. And another strategy of the enemy is when you're pressing in, then he's going to have people around you to say, you're foolish to do that. God's not going to do that. Remember blind Bartimaeus?
Mm-hmm.
He cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they told him, shut up and sit back down, you know, like keep that Jesus stuff in church.
Mm-hmm.
But what he did, he cried all the more, praise the Lord. And God noticed, he said, Jesus stood still. So when we press in, keep knocking, in spite of opposition and pressure from the enemy and the world and the world system, Jesus takes notice. And then he said, what is it that you want me to do?
Mm.
And since he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and no respecter of persons, that's how he's going to treat us too. If we press in and we know it's ours, no matter what, no matter what man says, or what, no matter what the pressure the enemy brings, then and we keep knocking, Jesus calls that faith. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you.
Mm-hmm.
The woman with the issue of blood, she pressed in. And he said she had great faith.
Amen.
Only two people in the whole Bible that Jesus said had great faith. The disciples regularly heard they were of little faith. But only two people, that was the centurion who said, just say the word, and the lady that pressed in. And Jesus said he had great faith.
Amen. Well, I want you to take just a couple of minutes, Pastor, and pray over the people and encourage them.
Okay. Well, let's pray together. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your principles. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to cry. We don't have to beg. We don't have to cajole or manipulate, that you desire to give us the good things of God. No good thing did you withhold from them that walk uprightly. And you made us joint heirs with Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that it's your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So we knock. We're knocking for those things that we have need of. We're knocking for the provision so that we might do everything that you've put in our heart to do, even if it's big. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I declare the people shall fulfill their kingdom destiny, and everything they need to do it, you have laid up for us, and we're going to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking until it's manifest into our hands. I declare it, decree it, and establish it on the earth by faith, and count it as done for your glory. In Jesus' name,
amen. I know we didn't cover all your book, Pastor, but I think before I covered a chapter, maybe a little bit of it.
Yeah, about half a chapter.
How many chapters you have in your book?
10.
10, okay. And that book should be released through Banner and Rev Media Publishing July, August?
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Yeah, he says sounds good. I'm asking him, is his book ready to go?
It'll be ready soon.
It'll be ready soon. So you look for that in bookstores, and we'll have him back. We're going to have him back next week or the week after, and we're going to keep going with this Keep On Knocking, because it's a principle that we need to all capture. It's something that we all have to understand. It's not instant. Some things are, but some things, the things that are worth it, are the things that you put a lot of faith into and a lot of prayer. Don't you put a lot of faith and prayer into your children? Aren't they worth it? Don't you put a lot of prayer and faith in your family members, in the church you go to? Those things are worth it, to see those things progress when they progress.
Amen.
Amen. God bless. We'll be right back with Gail Winters in just a few minutes.
Trace Embry with insight for today's culture.
Today's postmodern culture has helped deconstruct language and redefine terms to the point that gleaning what the Bible truly says about anything can become cloudy, particularly as it pertains to child rearing. It's even tripping up good and godly Bible teachers, as I recently heard some well-respected pastors mimic pop psychology's view that says discipline and punishment are two different things. This could easily lead their listeners to believe that perhaps punishment on behalf of their children isn't such a good idea. But the very first word in Webster's dictionary to describe discipline is punishment, and it's used subsequently as well. Punishment is a vital component to discipline, but our soft and postmodern culture has insidiously coerced even the best and brightest to believe otherwise. Meditate on Proverbs 19:25 and see if the Holy Spirit gives you peace on this issue.
If you'd like to host a Licensed to Parent weekend at your church, contact Trace Embry when you go to licensedtoparent.org. Licensedtoparent.org.
Fear sells, peace doesn't. I'm Perry LaHaye. You may wonder why Muslim leaders don't condemn acts of terror done in the name of Islam. In fact, many actually do, but the mainstream media doesn't cover it because fear sells. That is, fear attracts readers and viewers. Peace doesn't. So take note of this. At the Islamic Doctrine Against Radicalism Conference in Moscow, Akfaf, an Islamic leader from Kuwait, shouted, "Extremist Muslims defile religion and insult the feelings of Muslims with their crimes." Akfaf and other Muslim leaders from the Middle East, Indonesia, Africa, Malaysia, and Russia came together to let the world know they condemn Wahhabism, a branch of Sunni Islam that works to destroy anything or anyone that stands in its way, including other Muslims. The majority of Muslims are like you and me. They just want a hope and a future for themselves and their families. And the ultimate hope for their future is Jesus. Bring hope to the Muslim world. Your first step is at frontiersusa.org. Cast yourself in.
Hi, I'm Peter Stanway from The Way Christian Ministries. Our struggle is not against people, but against powers and principalities. It's against spiritual forces of evil. The solution to any earthly crisis is to disarm and bring down the spiritual strongman that has satanic authority over people and situations in a specified territory. In Glasgow, my hometown, the strongman uses a tribal culture that manifests in urban gangs, who use violence and addiction to control the people. Strategic power and intercession are the weapons of our warfare, and only by targeting the spiritual strongmen and territorial spirits can we hope to put Jesus on the throne. Only when the Prince of Peace has full authority can we expect to bring lasting peace to any land. Lord Jesus, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. Amen.
Family expert Trace Embry.
In the run-up to the World Cup and the Olympics, Brazil is rolling out national biometric ID cards with RFID spy chips that can be scanned and hacked remotely. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back with details in a moment.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This message is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Brazil will host the 2016 Summer Olympics, but the government there is doing something that deserves a black medal, embedding national ID cards with radio frequency spy chips chock full of biometric data. A chip in each ID card will contain fingerprints and mugshots, plus they're contactless, meaning they can be read from a distance without people knowing. The government there has already mandated tracking spy chips in vehicles and student ID cards. By the time the Olympics roll around, I'd say the Brazilians will be approaching the finish line of personal liberty, that is. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht for StartPage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Do you believe in a living Constitution? Living things change and die. The Constitution does not. Its purpose? To limit dangerous government power. The U.S. Constitution, the law of the land that federal officials have sworn to uphold, is an obstacle only to the lawless. It's like those who ignore the speed limit for what suits them. Some people treat God's law that way too. Instead of adjusting themselves to it, they adjust it to what suits them. They are a law unto themselves. Activist judges are lawless judges. Only the lawless believe in living laws, and lawless people are criminals at heart. Lawful people meditate in God's law day and night and are like trees planted by rivers of water. ChurchOfTheKingMacAllen.com on Ware Road, just south of Trenton. Side with God against yourself and be a winner. Lose your life to Christ and save it. 585-4402.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we have another great guest lined up here for us, and Ms. Gail Winters. How you doing, Gail?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Amen. She is a Whitaker author, and Tuesdays are my Whitaker days that I really promote my team, because I'm a Whitaker author too, so it's like we're excited about being with you. But other than that, I've been doing a lot of interviews in NCRS, NRB. I know you've been to a couple of those, haven't you, Gail?
Yes, I sure have. I have.
Were you at the one this last year in St. Louis, or?
No, I have not been to that one, so I plan on going to those in the future, though.
Oh, awesome, because I've been to Atlanta, Orlando, but I wasn't interviewed in Atlanta, and I think I was just interviewed in Orlando. So
okay.
Yeah, so I know I missed you in one of them, but Gail Winters, you've written several books, correct?
I've written two. My first one, I self-published. It was called Nuclear Prayers That Blast the Devil.
And hey,
most of the content of that book is in this book, because that is the book that I initially sent to Whitaker House that they reviewed. And then when they said they wanted to publish it, well, then they assigned another title to it, and God gave me more things to put in the book. And so it includes that, but it has much more. So this is actually my second real book.
Amen. And I know you're getting a lot of good reviews and stuff. Before we jump into the book, let's tell them just a little bit about your background. Obviously, you have spiritual warfare background, but just tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you were raised on a farm or born on a farm?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I was raised on a farm in South Dakota, and I think I learned a really good work ethic, and just I had a wonderful Christian family that we were raised in, and gave us a firm foundation, you know, for our faith in Jesus Christ. And, you know, even though for a few years I got off track when I was in college and so on, I never got away from the Lord. You know, I never really got into a lot of stuff that other people might because of that background, and I'm so thankful for that today.
Mm. Oh, that's amazing. So you had a family of faith.
Yes, absolutely. And my mom is a prayer warrior. My dad has gone on to be with the Lord, but my mom is an incredible prayer warrior. And she said she had a come to Jesus meeting with Father God the other day. And she said, okay, God, there's no emergency rooms and no hospital visits this year, right? And he said, that's right. I've got a good heritage of faith there.
Amen. You know, that's amazing, because, you know, I'm a prodigal of a prayer warrior mother too.
Oh, yeah, that's important. Yeah.
You know, I want to encourage those mothers out there that if you are a prayer warrior, you are building a prayer warrior in their house, and they're going to be able to pray
exactly
for the Lord.
That's exactly right. Yes. You know, the heritage that your kids will have, I don't believe they'll ever get away from that because of the promises of the Lord that, you know, if we raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they'll not depart from it when they get old. And I believe that's our promise, that we can claim them into the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen. Now, tell us, what were some of the things that you thought of when you started to put this book together?
Well, the thing that I want to impress is that, first of all, I've been teaching the Word of God for years and years. And so, you know, I had a real background from mentoring under wonderful men and women of God,
Amen.
You know, that I learned over the years and instilled in me the power of the Word of God and the power of the spoken word. And that became the basis for everything. How I prayed for people, how I taught my word training classes, everything was that I knew that I had to teach people how to pray the Word of God, because that is really the only way that we can be guaranteed that our prayers will be answered. Because if you can find it in the Word of God and you truly believe that the Word was written for you, then whatever it says in the Word, you can claim that. And if you know that you know that you know, you will hold on to it like a bulldog and not let go. And that's how I wrote the book. It is not a mandy-pandy book. It is a book full of confidence in what the Word of God says about every situation and why we can believe that He will answer our prayer when we pray.
Now, Gail, do you see when you're out there, you're teaching these your courses and stuff, your workbooks, do you see that there's a lack of teaching today for spiritual warfare?
Absolutely. Absolutely. People do not understand their authority in Jesus Christ. You see, David, when the second we are born again, we are given authority over all the power of the enemy. That's what Luke 10:19 says. Okay, but it doesn't happen automatically. We have to exercise it, just like it didn't happen automatically when you were born again. You had to ask. You had to receive it, right? It's the same thing with exercising our authority as a believer. And when we put the enemy under our feet, you see, he will absolutely do everything and anything that he can get away with. And it's up to us to say, no, 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 you will not cross that bloodline in the name of Jesus. And that's where we have so much lack of teaching. Too many of the churches, I'm not talking down about any denomination or churches, but I believe there's just a lack of teaching that, you know, we kind of are taught, well, ask God, and he might answer, and he might not. Well, you see, if you've gone to the Word of God, and you've found that healing is right, he says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. If you go and find that verse, you don't have to wonder whether God will answer your prayer or not. You have God's Word on that. So I really do believe that too many people beg and they plead and they hope God will answer their prayer, but they do not have enough word in them to understand that they absolutely can have answers to their prayers.
That's amazing, because I just had Pastor David Hope on the show just before you, and he has a new work that he's working on, a book called Keep On Knocking, and we're explaining that it was a perfect segue to your book, because explaining how you got to keep asking in faith and hold the scriptures and believe, and I was like, wow, this is going to be great, because we have Gail right after you,
right.
And she's going to teach you about
right.
this. And you do see a lot of people that do tend to give up, and they don't realize they got to push through. Can you explain that to them?
That's right. That's right. See, I really believe that when you ask, you know, Mark 11:23 says that believe that you receive when you ask. You believe that you receive. So then your knocking is simply thanking and praising God that it's done. See, the moment you pray and you ask according to the Word, then that answer is yours. But it's up here in the heavenly realm, in the spirit realm, and you use your words to pull your answers from the spirit realm into the physical realm where we walk. You say, oh, I thank you, Father God, that you said by Jesus' stripes I was healed, so I am healed today in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. And you just continue to praise, and you have to act like the answer is already there, because in God's mind, it is. We just have to to get the manifestation in the physical realm, and we do that by speaking the word aloud over and over and declaring those promises.
That's amazing. Now, in a lot of the churches, I was recently in a church doing a healing service in Louisville, and there was a young lady that was demon possessed, and it was crazy because the faith was really built, but you know, faith and fear are like a thin line.
That's exactly right.
And they were like just looking at me like, you know, we're all ready for our healings. Then I heard a scream on the left side of the healing line, all the way down the line, and the pastor was praying for someone over there, and she was demonically possessed. Yeah. Everybody, and this was in a Nigerian, Liberia type church, and they're very superstitious as well. They were on the wall. My whole healing line was gone, and I'm like, Lord, where'd my healing line go? And then this demonic possession, and these people didn't know how to deal with it. The pastor did, but the people weren't in the church weren't mature enough to understand how to deal with this. They weren't prepared, and that kind of gave me the level of where that church was as far as the teaching on that. And it's something you got to teach on. And I think that a lot of churches, and I'm asking this question: do you think they ignore the demonic activities around them?
Well, they do. Most people are afraid of demons. That's what's sad. Is there people are afraid to be. I was raised in a denomination that we never talked about. We had a wonderful Christian family, but we never ever talked about demons at all. I think everybody was afraid to stir them up. Well, I'm telling you, they're stirred up already, and they're stirred up against you. And the more you do for the kingdom of God, the more they're stirred up against you. But if you will use and apply the blood of Jesus and use the name of Jesus and put on the full armor of God every day, there is no need to be afraid of demons. We can say, go in Jesus' name, just like Jesus did.
Amen. Amen. And I really see that there is a lack of teaching on this. So I know that your book's going to be a blessing, and it is a blessing. How long has it been out, your book?
It was released September 1st, 2013.
Oh, wow. And you're getting a lot of good reviews on it, too. I was reading some of them.
Yes. And just having a lot of even foreign, like South Africa and Sudan and those type, and a lot of in the Philippines, getting a lot of response, because in those areas of the world, they really, really know that there are evil spirits.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's a lot of voodoo, and there's a lot of magic and different things over there. But they also recognize the power of God. Mm-hmm. And they understand that we have spiritual authority, and they understand that we have those weapons. And so they are just on the title alone, people are grabbing this book because they know that this is what they need to fight against the forces of evil.
And, you know, I go to those areas. I go to Africa. I go to India. And there's so much demonic activity in those places. There is in Africa. The first year that I went out there, it was difficult to pray them out because of people's education. So I spent a lot of time teaching them on how to cast out the word of God. And then the next time I came back, when I was praying, they just left. They left instantly, the demons, and they would manifest and they would leave. But there were so many of them, so many people demon possessed in our meetings. Yeah. It was just, I'd have to put them to the side because I don't want to give it any attention. I let God get the attention and minister to them. And I had one minister just doing that, and a group of ministers with them. One of my ministers that I brought just handled that.
Right.
And he was really well prepared for that. And that was his ministry.
Right.
And then I would go on the main healing service. But even in India, oh my goodness, so much. So I'm sure those areas. In fact, I'm going to get Whitaker to send me a few books, and I'm going to take them. I do have some in Africa now. I believe they sent me a couple that I took with me my last trip. So I'm going to take some with me to India.
Okay.
Because they need that. People today in our everyday life need to realize that there's a demonic force out there. And that there's an enemy fighting you every day.
It is very real. Very real.
We hear some great gospel. We hear some great teachings. You know, I had Reinhard Bonnke on the show last week, and he was a blessing, and you're a blessing as well. He was a blessing,
and
when we're talking privately, he was like, people need to, and no, actually, it was on the air. He said, there's enough gospel that is preached. He goes, we need to get back to the basic ABCs of what
Amen.
God can do.
Because
I asked him, I go, what do you feel the church has the biggest need and why aren't we getting the draw that we needed to get? He goes, it's very difficult for me to understand why teenagers and young children don't even know the Bible stories here in America.
He goes, that's right.
He goes, it is difficult for me to say that. He goes, but I see that the people have preached beautiful, beautiful gospel, but we need to get back to a crystal clear ABCs. This is what God does. This is what he brings to the table. This is how he clears your life. And
that's right. Yes, I call it the benefits of the covenant.
Amen.
That's how I refer to it. You know, just like when you get to choose your health plan at the end of the year, you have a plan A, B, and C, and the more you pay, the better your benefits are. That's exactly the way it is in the body of Christ. The more you invest in the Word, and you get in the Word, and you spend time praying, and praying in the Spirit and all that, you're investing in your spiritual authority. And the more you do that, the better your benefits are. You get more benefits with less deductible. I mean, it's a great teaching that I have because it's so real, practical, and people can understand that.
Amen. Tell us about your nuclear play. I'm in South Texas, so I speak like Bush. Nuclear.
I'm in North Texas, so.
Prayers that blast the devil out of your life. Just tell us about that.
Well, what I mean by nuclear prayers is prayers that are explosive in the kingdom of darkness. If people just really understood how powerful the Word of God is, they would really use it like God intends them to. It was shortly after, right after that tsunami in Japan, and all of the nuclear prayers the nuclear plants were going on alert, and they were saying that they were declaring safe perimeters around it. You had to stay a certain distance away. And as I was walking through my house, the Spirit of God said to me, that's what it's like in the kingdom of darkness when you speak the Word. It is, the Word of God is nuclear to those demons and evil spirits and the devil himself, that they have to stay a safe distance away in order to not be overcome by the Word of God. And so I picture that in my mind when I pray, and I draw the bloodline like Don Gossett taught me to do. He's a personal friend of mine. And he said, you declare that safe perimeter, God told me, and just command the devil to stay out of your that safe perimeter. And that's what I feel like if you understand, if your listeners would understand the authority that we have, and that the enemy has to stay outside of that perimeter of you and your loved ones, you would exercise your authority instead of being mandy-pandy and letting the devil do whatever he wants to you.
Mm. Now expound on the authority of the believer.
Oh, well, that is my heart, is teaching people their authority. And like I said before, the moment you're born again, you have the authority, but it's not automatic. You have to purposely apply these principles of binding and loosing and applying the blood and drawing a bloodline and putting on the armor. You just have to be proactive about it. Otherwise, the enemy's going to run you over like a bulldozer. So you just got to stand up and say, no, devil, you will not, in the name of Jesus. This, my contract, I'll tell it this way. When the enemy tries to attack me in my health, like saying flu or cold or anything like that, I just rise up and say, that is not in my contract.
Amen.
My contract is healing and health and wholeness in every area of my life. In fact, the Holy Spirit gave me the term, terms of my contract. That is not part of the terms of my contract. Neither is lack of any kind. Neither is there strife and confusion of any kind. That's not part of my contract. My contract is all the benefits in Psalm 103 and many, many others throughout the New Testament.
Mm. That's amazing. Tell us in your book, how is it supposed to be used? I mean, how is it laid out? What is there like a pattern or path that we need to go through?
Yes. Now, first of all, I want to explain that this is truly a handbook. It's not a book that you read once and you put it on your shelf and you say, "Oh, that was nice." This is truly has to be a book that you use every day in your prayer life, because the third section is topics of everything imaginable you can think of, from sickness and depression and grief and finances. All of those are included in there. So you find the topic that applies to your situation, and then I have scriptures and biblical declarations in that part. But the first part is really a teaching. It teaches you the basis, the scriptural basis for this whole book, and why words really matter, and why speaking the word of God aloud is so powerful. So that's the first section, and it also will teach you how to get in the presence of the Father every day. Because we all know, David, it's all about relationship with the Father. Nothing else works unless you have a relationship with the Father. And the more intimate your relationship with the Father, the more you will understand how much He loves you, and He's going to take care of you, and that God cannot lie. And so that's the first section. And then the nuclear strategies that blast the devil is section two. And it really does teach you how to gain victory, I should say, over like your flesh, for different addictions. And just, you know, too many of us are led by our emotions instead of by what the Word of God says about the situation. And that's what I really hammer on in that second section, is how to gain dominance over your emotions instead of falling to pieces and all of that, that you will say, no, the Word of God says. And so the book is laid out with literally hundreds of scriptures and faith declarations for every situation that you could encounter in life.
That's amazing. And how much of your mother's prayer life did help influence you for this book?
Well, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I would, maybe I couldn't sleep or something, I'd go upstairs on the sofa and finish sleeping the rest of the night. My mom wouldn't know I was even there. It was kind of off to the side. And I would hear my mom in the morning, she'd get up early, and she'd, you know, the old-timey Wesleyans, they turned around, they always prayed over a chair, you know. And she'd get a kitchen chair, and she would pray there. And I would hear her praying for all of us kids, all the family, and the things that were going on. Now, my parents weren't spirit-filled. They didn't understand all of that. And, you know, but her prayers were very powerful. And, you know, I just remember, even during that time I said that I tried to get away from the Lord, I thought, I mean, I know her prayers just kept drawing me back into the kingdom of God, you know, just into a relationship with the Father. And I find it real ironic today that that God led me into a life of prayer, intercession, and such a passion with the Word, because when we were kids and we would have family devotions before we would go to school in the morning, I would be the one that I would have such a bad attitude, and I didn't want to do it, and blah, blah, blah. So even back, way back in grade school, the devil tried to steal this book and my prayer life from me. But you know what? I win every time, because Jesus is my rock.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. We got about 3 minutes left, and I want you to pray for the people that are out there, because I know you know how to.
Praise God.
And then we'll give your contact information for your ministry and everything.
Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you know every person who is listening right now, every person who may listen at a later date. Father, I cover them with the blood of Jesus. Father, I surround them with your hedge of protection, and I declare your hand over them in all of their activities and all of their conversations and what they do. Father, whatever their need is, bless them and meet every need in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for your ministering angels who go before us and who surround us and who take care of us, because, Father, you love us so much. Father, if there's anybody with a need out there, I just declare right now it is met in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Tell us about your Speak His Word Ministries and how can they contact you?
Yes, I have a website called Speak His Word Ministries. That's plural. They can go there and find me. They can leave a prayer request. They can also order the book there. I also have a Facebook page called Speak His Word Ministries, and they can find me if they just put me in the search line there. So either way, if they want to contact me anyway, the best way probably would be to go to my website, speakhiswordministries.com, and fill out the form that's on my website.
Amen. And her book is called Spiritual Weapons Handbook. Gail Winters is the author. You can find her book at Whitaker House. I believe Whitaker House has it online. And then also you can just go into any bookstore that you want to go into and get it. You can get it on Amazon. And where else can they get it, darlings?
Yeah. Well, they can download a digital e-book on Amazon and several different places online. So all you have to do is type in Spiritual Weapons Handbook in your search line, and it'll show you all the places foreign and in United States where the book is available.
Okay, and they can purchase it also from your website, darlings?
Yes, they can purchase it from my website.
That's speakhiswordministries.com. You can go and purchase the book there. Thank you so much for being on the air with
us. Thank you, David.
We look forward to having you back. And I look forward to seeing you in person one day at the ICRS or NRB.
I am looking forward to that. I think that Kathy has set me up on some of those things, so I look forward to it, too.
Yeah, I think I have you on my schedule already.
Oh, great.
All right, God bless you. Thank you for being a part
God
of the show.
God bless you, too.
All righty.
Thank you, David.
Right,
bye-bye.
Amen. That was a great interview. And the interviews they were flying by today. Pastor Hope looked at me and said, that was the time already? I go, yeah, that was 25, 28 minutes there. And then Miss Gail Winters, we have her. And that was a quick 25 minutes right there. And please get her book, Spiritual Weapons Handbook. It's gonna change your life. Of any book that you can get that will change your prayer life and bring things into you, it's her book. And if you don't know the weapons that you have, and if you don't have a church or ministry that you're part of that is teaching you how to use spiritual weapons, I'm telling you from my own experience, you need to know what authorities you have in God. You need to know, like my sister said, your contract with the Lord, your contract, your terms of contract in faith. And that is what the Word of God is. That is your term of contract. And she's put it together in a nice handbook to give you to walk you through how to have a spiritual warfare life. Spiritual Weapons Handbook, Gail Winters. You can get it anywhere. And you can also visit WhitakerHouse.com and visit them there as well and pick it up. All right. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of the broadcast today. I want to thank everyone, including the audience that's listening and everyone else that's tuning in. I want to thank also all the authors that were on the show, Gail Winters, David Hope, and God bless y'all. And remember, go to speakhiswordministries.com. You can also visit David Hope's ministry, we didn't even mention that, at wordsoflifechurch.net. You can visit his ministry at wordsoflifechurch.net. Well, we'll catch you next time, my friends. Next week, we have some more interviews. And we'll be doing something awesome. We always are. Keep us in prayer. We're doing some great things, getting these upgrades done. Believe in God that we're able to finish and pay these things off and get the IPTV station to the platform that it needs to be. And my heart is to push the gospel forward in all types of media, preaching, doing healing ministries, whatever I can do. Let my breath praise the Lord. Let me praise Him in the things that I do, whether it's broadcasting books or media or healing services, in whatever I do, in all that I do, I just want to praise Him. Amen. Amen, my friends. God bless you. Remember, you can write me, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.